when we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
You know, you didn't always love God. You say, well, yes, I did. I was raised up in a Christian home. I went to church every time the doors opened. That's me. I'm the same. And there's never been a time where I consciously thought that I didn't love God. But the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. And so before we were saved, we were rebels. We were rebellious against God. But even yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I'm glad of that tonight. And because He loved us first, we love Him. So God imputed His love into us as true believers, and we should be exhibiting that love to all the world. In fact, that is the main thrust of the gospel. We want to share the gospel with other people because we love people. We don't want to see anybody have to die and go to hell and not hear about Jesus. So because we love God, because we love our fellow man, we want to see them saved. If we didn't love them, we'd say, who cares? Who cares if they hear the gospel? Who cares if they get saved? Who cares if they go to hell and burn? If we were not Christians, that would be our thought. But as a Christian, the love of God imputed into us, we have a desire to see people get saved because we love them. Well, that passage in 1 John goes on to say this in 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. My friends, that's a stinging rebuke for some people today. I've heard some people say they've done something to me and I will never forgive them. I hate them. But yet they say they love the Lord. They'll get up and put on the Christian show, you know, come to church and sing songs and carry on like they're, you know, loving everybody and everything, but yet they're hating their brother down their heart. The Bible says they're a liar. Listen, if we love God, we love people, and we must do that. One of the most abused Bible verses in the world is Romans 8:28. A lot of people claim that is their life verse, and it's a great verse. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good. Is that as far as we want to take it? Because that's usually where people stop. Well, you know, all things work together for good. Really? No, that's not what the Bible says. It says it works together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You see, this love that we have is all because of the purpose of God. And so the things that work out are the things that are going toward the things of God. So all things work together for good to those that love God and are doing those things that they've been called to do according to His purpose. Those are the things that are working out. So listen, if there is no love being produced in your life, there's something very, very wrong. Because even a list of the fruit of the Spirit, we find that love is the number one thing in that list of nine things in the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the nine fruits of the Spirit. I don't like to say fruits because it is all fruit of the Spirit. But all those things, and these are not optional things. You may say, well, now I have the love, but I don't have the gentleness. Yeah. You know, these people are not very gentle. I don't have the goodness, but I have the faith. No, listen, if you're saved, you have all these. It's the same Holy Spirit. He has all the same attributes. And if He lives inside of you, you have these available to you. You may not produce them much. You may not show them much, but they are part of you. Listen, if you love the Lord, if you have that love for Him, you'll love His Word. You'll love to go to His church and be with His people. So I've heard people say, well, I don't have any use for church. Bunch of money-hungry, you know, people down there, bunch of hypocrites and all this stuff. Listen, friends, you're not going to church for people. You're going to church for the Lord. So before you let somebody keep you from going to church, you need to think of why the purpose of church is, and that's for you to come and to lift up the Lord Jesus, to glorify God. That is their purpose. And so if you love Him, you'll love the church and you'll love His people. You'll love to sing songs about Him. You'll love to tell other people about him, and you will love him more. You want to, just like that song we sang, I want to know him more and more and more. The third thing I see here in these things that accompany our salvation, there in verse 11, is diligence. Look at that. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. The Hebrew writer here, whom I believe to be the Apostle Paul, of course we cannot prove that. We can't dogmatically state that, but some of the things that's in there, it certainly looks like a Pauline writing. And so I believe it is Paul's writing, but regardless of that, he says, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. That word diligence means to do something with haste and with earnestness. We all know what that means is. You be diligent, that means you're going at it. That's what that means. And so it's a driving focus to do something. You don't let anything get in your way. You're not going to let anything distract you. You're not going to procrastinate on this thing that you know you need to do for the Lord. You're going to get out and you're going to do it with diligence. Make haste with it. I mean, hurry on with it and get it done. Saved people want to do things for the Lord and they want to do it now. You know, I've heard people say, one of these days I'm going to do something for the Lord. You know, if this happens in my life or that happens, then I'll do this or I'll do that. Or something like, no, listen, friends, if God wants you to do something, He just wants you to step out on faith and do it. He's not waiting for you. You're not supposed to wait around for somebody to give you the go-ahead. If God's gave you the go-ahead, that's all you need. And you need to step out on faith and do that thing. And you need to do it with diligence. Too many people have something God's laid on their heart, and they claim they're going to do it, and yet they don't do it, either because they're too shy, timid, or they don't think they can do it. It's out of fear, and so they hold back, and they don't do it. And next thing you know, times went by. You go to them and say, did you ever get that ministry started that you told me about? Oh, no, I never did. It just didn't work out, you know, because they didn't have diligence about it. They didn't go for it. Listen, we all know the story of the Apostle Peter. If ever there was a man who liked to jump out of a boat, cut off an ear, whatever it was, he did it with diligence. And he said over in 2 Peter 1 through 8, listen to what he writes. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. All right, stop. Peter is writing to save people too. And so these people have like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen to what he says in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Peter is stressing the point that the believer needs to give with all diligence toward these things, toward their faith, toward this stuff so that we may abound. Listen, the more you go at it, the more you do for the Lord, if you'll do it with diligence, you're going to abound more and more and more in the things of the Lord. And so we need to be diligent about the work for the Lord. Don't put it off. The fourth thing I find that accompanies our salvation in this text is again in verse 11, and that is assurance. Look at that. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. So one characteristic of a truly saved person is that they should be assured of their salvation. Listen, I understand as a young believer, you may have these times when you're in doubts or you have questions. I went through that. As a young man, I went through that. And I'll tell you the main reason. I would be in a church service, and some of the preachers that we sat under, I'm not going to talk bad about them, but they would say things such as, if we were having a good service and maybe somebody shouted or somebody got excited, somebody was crying, maybe they was walking the aisles, whatever it was, and the preacher would stand behind the pulpit and he'd say something like this: if you don't feel what they're feeling, brother, there's something wrong with you. You might want to check up on your salvation. And that's all it took for me. And I was just like, because I don't feel nothing. I'm just watching these people run around the church and everything, you know. I was fine with it, but I didn't feel compelled to get up and shout or run the pews or anything like that. And so when the preachers would say something like that, I'd start questioning. Well, maybe I'm not saved. Yeah? Listen, that is one of the worst things you can do to somebody, to confuse them, especially children. And that is not in the Bible, by the way. The Bible never says that salvation is some kind of feeling. In fact, salvation is a fact. It's not a feeling, it's a fact. And so, don't ever confuse young children. But I understand when there's times like that. Sometimes we may get out of God's will and we're not being as spiritual as we ought to, and perhaps we may do something that we know we shouldn't. Maybe we sin, and maybe for just a blinking second we think, would a saved person do that? But you're always catching yourself. You ever notice that? I knew a lady, her whole life was concerned that she wasn't ever saved. And all she did was worry and worry and worry and worry over it till the very last day that she died, was worrying that she wasn't saved. And I tried to explain to her, listen, a lost person's not worried about it like that. The people that worry about it are those that are saved. And the devil, when he finds out that you worry about it, you can guarantee there's something going to happen that's going to cause you to think about it and worry about it. But listen, if you're saved, the Bible says we should have full assurance of hope unto the end. And so for a believer, our assurance is that we're saved. One of the ways that you know is the sickness that you have over your sin. If you're not being convicted when you sin, then there probably is a problem. A person is saved, the Holy Spirit convicts their heart. And He chastens us, friends. And the Bible tells us, you know, if He's not chastening you, then you don't belong to Him. So, you know, salvation, like I said, it's not a feeling, but it's a fact. But a believer should have assurance of their salvation. The fifth and final thing, and I will hurry along, the fifth and final thing here that accompanies salvation that we find in our text is that our hope is unto the end. Do you see that? We have hope unto the end. It says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Listen, for a saved person, these things that accompany our salvation, they'll be present in our life until we close our eyes in death. And as the Hebrew writer states, or unto the end here. I quoted this morning from Hebrews 9 and 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So you have an appointment with death. You will close your eyes in death if the Lord delays His coming. You will die. And so Paul writes this over in 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 10. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So, as part of our salvation is our assurance of hope unto the end. We have that assurance. Now, there are many other things that accompany salvation, which we don't have time for tonight, that the Bible speaks of. For instance, the fruit of the Spirit we mentioned, all those, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that accompanies your salvation. So, many things. My question to you tonight, are these things present in your life? Do you exhibit these things that accompany salvation? Because you should if you're saved. Is there a desire to work for the Lord in your life? Is the love of God manifest in your life for not only Him but your fellow man? Do you diligently set your mind on getting things done for the Lord? Do you have that assurance of your salvation? And is your hope an everlasting hope all the way unto the end? If you can't say yes to these things, I want to ask you tonight to pray and ask the Lord to help you.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.